Good morning, church. Good morning, church. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is seen within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your disease, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. If you know your youth has been renewed like an eagle, somebody just give God all the praise this morning. Just give God all the glory, because he is Yahweh. Yahweh, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the God who was, who is, and is to come. Somebody just make some noise in the house of God. Amen. Woo. Let us pray. Father God, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. Indeed, you are Yahweh. You are the Alpha, the Omega. Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And that's why we are here this morning, to hear from you, Lord. From the rising up of the sun to the going out of the same, Lord, you are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, come with your Holy Spirit this hour, Lord, and tabernacle in this with us. Speak a word because your servants are listening. Lord, breathe your Holy Spirit power in all, every area of our lives this morning, so we'll be receptive to your word. And when we leave this place, we will not leave this place empty, but we'll be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to propagate your word, to go forth and make disciples, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of Christ. Lord, your servant is empty, but I know your spirit is in me right now. Come and dwell in this body. Less of me and more of you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I'm a little emotional this morning, but I'll pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll fulfill my task. A few weeks ago, we entered into a series of temptation, and that series was closed. And today, we start a new one entitled, The Life of an Authentic Witness. And we're going to open our Bibles this morning. If you have your Bibles, please open with me to the book of Judges. Judges. Somebody's looking at me like, yes, Judges in the Bible. After the first five books, there's Joshua, then Judges. Judges, navigate your way onto chapter 13. Judges 13, I'm reading from the King James Bible. And we're going to read the first five verses of the Bible. This series covers Judges from chapter 13 until chapter 16. So when you have time, you go home in your spare time. I encourage you all to read the entire from 13 to 16, because next week we'll continue. This is the first series of the first episode of the series, The Life of an Authentic Witness. Judges chapter 13, verse 1. If you are there, say amen. If you are not there yet, say wait for me. Okay, all right, we're there. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine, nor strong drink, and eat not anything unclean. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite. Let the church say Nazarite. The child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. That's the word of God. Amen. Today I'm going to start this the series with a topic titled Unfulfilled Potential. Unfulfilled Potential. When we were in school, there used to be a game that we used to play when we were kids. The teacher would always, or we'd always ask ourselves, or the teacher would always ask, what would you like to be when you grow up? Remember what you like to be when you grow up? You remember some of the things you said? Some be like, oh, I want to be a doctor, or I want to be a pilot, or I want to be a nurse. We all had different things that we want
to be when you grew up?
For me, don't laugh. I wanted to be a flying pilot. A flying pilot. I had my own aircraft and I would fly to go see my patients. That's what I wanted to be. And every time I say that, people will laugh at me because, yeah, who's the flying pilot? By the time you're flying to get there, the patient would have died. But that's what I mean. We all have this thing. But I'm sure if you look back in your over your life and remember what you wanted to be, how many of us, what we wanted to be, we are doing what we want, what we said in the beginning? How many of us who said from the beginning that we wanted to be a doctor, we are now a doctor? It's a few percent. Okay? It's a few percentage of people.
Thank you, brother.
Few percentage of people who, what they want, they attain from the beginning is what they are doing right now. Some of us have actually changed course. Me, as a child, I wanted to be a pilot. I wanted to be a doctor, flying my own aircraft. But what I exhibited as a child in young age had nothing to do with being a doctor. We all had it as children. You have your toys, your guns, your bicycles, your cars. But my favorite playtime moment, you know what? It was playing preacher. I used to be in the house and I preach. I used to go into the wardrobe, drag my father's gown, take lots of ropes and fit myself into it, climb on top of the tables and the chairs and start preaching to the empty carpets, the empty tables, everything. That's what I used to do when I was a kid. That was my favorite pastime moment. And my siblings used to laugh at me. But deep down, somehow I knew I was actually born for this. Because at the time in life, what you want is not what always God willed for your life. God has his own way that he plans for our life. And if you can look back over yourself, over your life, you can remember your colleagues, your friends that you grew up together, what they wanted to be when they grew up. Sadly, some of them never made it in life. Sadly, some of them changed time for eternity. And as I said this morning, I woke up this morning, I switched on my phone. One of the first news I saw was a young man I used to sing with the choir who was gone to be with the Lord. And I looked at that and I told my friends, I am going to church to preach a sermon about unfulfilled potential. When you have a young man there, that's a lesson for me to learn that not all of us will make it in life. And we laugh at sometimes when our teachers used to tell us that not all of you will make it in life. But the reality of that, it's true. Not all of us will make it in life. And now at this moment, if you try to scratch your head and think about unfulfilled potential, people you know, people you try to remember who you started off the journey together, but some of them have dropped along the way. My brother, let me reintroduce you to a Bible scripture and a Bible verse and a Bible character and take you back to Sunday school and reintroduce you to a brother by the name of Samson. Let the church say Samson. Samson. Even if you dropped out of Sunday school, even if you never went to Sunday school, even if you were not regular at Sunday school, there are three things you ought to know about Samson. Number one, he was the strongest man the Bible knows. The strongest man that ever lived. Number two, his hair had never been cut. And number three, he was betrayed by a sister called Delilah. You all know Delilah, right? Delilah. I don't want to touch too much on Delilah because on Tuesday is International Women's Day. So guys, let's be really nice to them. But Delilah, if you ever meet a woman by the name of Delilah, please note that their parents never attended Sunday school. Because Delilah is synonymous with deception. So you do not want to give your child the name of Delilah. Samson had a prophecy over his life that he was going to remove he was going to conquer the Philistines. The Bible tells us that he was going to be a Nazarite and he shall begin to deliver the Israelites out of the Philistines. Now, what you need to take cognizance of is at that time, the Israelites were being occupied and ruled by the Philistines. So God was finding a way to remove them from that scenario, and when he brought in Samson. But for some reason, for all Samson's prophecy,
For all Samson's prophecy in his life, for all Samson's strength, Samson never attained what God wanted him to become, to deliver the Israelites out of the Philistines. Remove the Israelites from the Philistines. Samson never attained it. Samson died a tragic death, not attaining what God intended for him. Now, so you ask yourself this question. What happened along the way? What did he do? What are the signs that happened? What are the things that happened that he ignored? And if we are going to be disciples of Christ, and as we move in our walk with God, we need to beware of some of these signs and some of these red flags that we encounter in our life that we sometimes ignore. That God is trying to show us something that will be good in our life as a disciple. Amen? In the life of a disciple. So as I said, when you go home, I don't have time to read the whole story, but along the sermon, I'll give you the synopsis of the story. Please read the book of Samson from Judges chapter 13 to 16. That's all it covers. Now, what are the signs of Samson? What are the things that Samson ignored? Number one, he prioritized his feelings over the facts. Let's say that together. He prioritized his feelings over the facts. Now you want to ask yourself these questions. This question: what are the facts? What is the fact? What are the facts? Okay, you all know I love music. Before I started preaching, I sang. I love my music. And sometimes I listen to a lot of songs because of my genre. I love different genres of music, whether it's classic, whether it's gospel, whether it's pop. I listen to so many music. And there's one particular song that came out just toward the end of last year that some of you might know, some of you might not know, or some of you might know, but you pretend that you don't know it because you're in church. It's called Ameno. And there's a classic tale of the chorus which resonates with me with this sermon. Let me say that for you. If you know it, just wink it. The chorus goes like this. You say, you want to bam bam? You want to chill with the big boys? I know you know it, so don't pretend like you don't know it because you're in church. You want to bam bam? You want to chill with the big boys? You know what happened? Samson wanted to bam bam and chill with the big boys. So what happened? Instead of Samson raising himself up to deliver Israel out of the Philistines, Samson chilled with the Philistines. Samson went and married a Philistine woman against the advice of God and his parents. In fact, his parents asked him, "You did not see any woman in Israel to marry except those ones?" But he was more concerned in what he felt rather than the facts. The facts of the matter is they were hidden. They don't believe in God. So you as a Christian, you don't interact, you don't meddle, and you don't marry into anybody who is ungodly. We know that. He knew that. But what he said was, he was in love. He told his parents, "I saw the girl and I wanted to marry her." Not because of anything else, because he wanted to satisfy his feelings. And what happened at the wedding? When they went to the wedding, the big boys were there. And the big boys gave him more big boys. The Bible says they brought 30 companions so that he can be with them. Now, when Samson went down there, and they brought 30 people to be with him. You know what happened when you chill with big boys? They want to show off. You want to be recognized. You want to be seen. That's the problem that happens when we go away. And every time we deviate from God's plan, it's not going to end up well for us. The fact of the matter is, he should never have meddled with the Philistines. And so because he meddled with the Philistines, and so he intermarried with the Philistines, then all sorts of problems started happening. We, if you can relate in our life, we know some challenges we've had in life. Even in marriages, our parents can say, "Don't marry that family. Don't go into that family. Don't invest in that business. Don't hang out with that friends." But because we want to feel good, and we want to hang around with the big boys, it never turns out well for us. So number one challenge, one Samson ignored was, he ignored the facts. He ignored the facts and went down there to marry a Philistine girl. Remember this always. As disciples, we need to align ourselves with what God wants rather than what we feel. We need to align ourselves with scriptural verses in the Bible to align ourselves in the path of righteousness. The Bible tells us that the steps of a good man are ordained by God. So we need to submit to God's will rather than what we want. Amen? Amen? Let's quickly run through this. The second point Samson had a problem with. He allowed his ego to interfere with his assignment. He allowed his ego to interfere with his assignment. Now, as I said, when you hang around the big boys, there's one thing that happened. Too much bragging. Everybody wants to show off. Everybody wants to show, oh, I've been to this country, I've been to this, I know this person. When I was growing up, when I was coming up, started working, when I joined the UN, I was a local staff, but I used to hang in with the internationals. I was hanging with the big boys. And you know what happened? Every time we sit at the table for lunch, they start talking about, oh, when I was in Paris, oh, when I was in the US, oh, poor me, I've never gone anywhere. So I have to actually, William, where have you gone? Have you ever been in that situation where you get lost trying to fit in? And so Samson hung around with the big boys, and at the wedding, they gave him companions. And that was Samson's turn to actually show off. Then he told them, I've got a riddle for you guys. If you can answer this riddle, I will give you 30 sheets of silver. He will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. 30 sheets means, like you say, 30 bed sheets. You know, in Arabic days, bed sheets, they have very expensive clothing. And the linen clothes, the garments there, only rich people wear those well. So Samson promised, if you answer this riddle, I will give you 30 of those. And then they asked him, oh yes, put your riddle. And Samson gave out the riddle to them. It's recorded in Judges 14. Samson's riddle was, out of the strong came sweetness, out of meat. Out of the strong, let me read it for you so we don't miss it. Judges chapter 14, verse 14. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. He said, what's the riddle? So I give you 7 days. By the time the wedding feast ends, if you don't answer, you will give me 30. If you answer, I will give you 30. For 3 days, the big boys tried to find the answer. They could not. So they took matters into their own hands. They went to Samson's wife and threatened her. Say, if you don't tell us the riddle, the answer to the riddle, if you don't convince your husband to tell us the answer to the riddle, we will kill you and we'll kill your father. And Samson's wife went to him. And poor Mrs. Samson did what every woman does when they want something from their husband. They comfort with some tricks in that four words. L-O-V-E. Baby, what is the riddle? I'm not telling you. If you love me, you will tell me. Sisters, I beg, don't listen to this. Brothers, every time a woman comes to you and starts a sentence, if you love me, you will do it. It's not going to end out well. Please know you have been set up. Every time they come up with, if you love me, you will tell me. It's not going to end out well. And Samson said the worst of any worst thing. He said, I've not even told my parents. Why am I going to tell you? And then she moved over to part two of the love thing that gets men. She started crying. Hello? She started crying. Baby, you don't love me. You don't love me. That's why you're making me to suffer. If you know the riddle, tell me. I am your wife. And you know something? It's International Women's Week. But still, we need to say it that it is. Samson did the worst to tell her, I've not even told my parents. That's what women don't like to hear. Let me give you one story. When I was growing up, I had this young girl. So she started telling me, baby, you shouldn't eat this. You shouldn't eat this. You shouldn't wear this. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't go. I looked at her. I said, well, are you my mother? And the moment I opened my mouth to ask, are you my mother? her face went like this. Packed her bags, and that was it. Never ever tell a woman, "Are you my mother?" Always find another way. Samson never had the skill, and so she pressured Samson, and Samson eventually succumbed and told her the answer to the riddle. And then she went, obviously, and told the other people, and they went and revealed the answer to Samson. And immediately, Samson knew he had been betrayed by the woman he claimed to love. And he said these words that I will never ever forget every time I read the Bible. He said, the only reason you have the answer to this reading is because you plowed with my heifer. Do you know what a heifer is? A heifer is a cow that cannot bear children. So if Samson looked at his own wife he loved and called her a heifer, that's why we have International Women's Day. Amen. So Samson was so annoyed, he went down to Ashkelon. He killed 30 people and took their garments and gave it to them as the reward that he promised. And then he abandoned his wife and went back to live with his parents. What a sad end to his story for a woman he had claimed to love. And you know what happened? After Samson left, they gave his wife to one of the big boys. He prioritized, he allowed his ego to interfere with his assignment. And every time you move from an assignment that God has already planned, it's never going to work out for you. And that moment that he mingled with the Philistines, all the trouble started. Samson went back to be with his parents. For all this story, for all these promises, he refused to listen to what his parents said and what God says. Beloved, as disciples, we are going to have challenges in life. We are going to meet things like these in life. Things that's going to, because the devil operates in a way that every time he sees a success story, he tries as best as possible to move you away from that. Be upright, be upstanding, study, and show yourself approved, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth, so that you can be able to discern what is good and what is right. Amen? The last point is that, which is the tragic part of all on this subject, he went back to what God has already delivered him from. After he had left, he went to be with his parents. And the Bible in chapter 15 opens, says, in the time of harvest. That's a long period. And imagine, the woman was now with a kid. Samson went back to where what God has already delivered. What I've learned in my Christian walk with God, ladies and gentlemen, there are three things I've learned. There's this thing about temptation. There are sometimes God puts us to the test. There are sometimes God invites temptation in our life so he can test us. There are sometimes where it's the devil who's tempting us to actually destroy us. And the third or sad one is there are some temptation. It's neither God nor the devil, but we put them on ourselves. There are some things we find ourselves into, we brought it on our own selves. We make that decision to actually go back to things that God has already delivered us. Samson went back to see his wife. And you ask a question, why did he go back? It's in the text. He said, "I'm going to my wife's chamber." And he went back and he was going to his wife's room. Then the wife's father stopped him. "Hey, what are you going to do there? She's no longer yours. I thought you hated her. So I gave him to your companion. I gave her to your companion because I thought you hated her. Why don't you take her little sister? She's more beautiful than her." And Samson was so annoyed. His lust, his sexual desires, his ability that he can take things that anything he wants and he gets there just because he wants to satisfy his urge to go into the wife's room, somebody you had abandoned. And he was so annoyed when he heard that his wife had been given to his companion. You know what he did? He went into the field. He caught 300 foxes. He tied them two each, tied their tails together. Then he lit a fire on the tails. And then he pushed them to their fields. And the fire started burning all their crops, all their wheat, all their orchid, all their vineyard. He burnt down all their farmlands. And then the Philistines asked, "Who did that?" And they said it was Samson. "Why did he do that?" He said, "Well, he came back and his wife had been given to his companion by his father-in-law." And the Philistines' head hierarchy were so annoyed, they went to the father and killed the father and killed the wife and they burned the entire household. And Samson all said, "Okay, because you have done that, I will also kill you." Teeth for tat, an eye for an eye. All because he went back to something that God has already delivered him from. Men have this thing. We always say, unfinished business. You heard that word before. Unfinished business. Why are you going back to that girl? Unfinished business. Unfinished business can cost you your life. Unfinished business can cost you your future. Unfinished business can cost you everything. Well, you might want to say, "Well, I've seen some changes in him, so I wanted to go back and accepted him. I see some changes in her. I wanted to go back and accepted her." Beloved Christian friends, if God had seen that that lady or that guy would have changed, he would have not told you actually to leave. But God knows that that information is not for you. God knows that that situation is not for you. So God makes a way for you to be delivered. And then you take upon yourself to go back to it, that what God has already delivered you from. Unfinished business can cost you something. How many times we invest in business that has turned out in bad for us? How many times that we invest? I know that you might be thinking that, "Oh, I've spent too much resources on them." I know that you might be thinking that I've wasted too much time on that one. So I want to find a way to reap what I've already invested in. But beloved, that is not the way God works. God sees, God knows, and God knows what we want. And he plans the path for us so that we can. Sometimes we drop the ball. We've all been there. Sometimes we make mistakes. We've all been there. Sometimes we do things that displease our God. But that's why I started the psalm, because we serve a God who can remove these things from us. He can remove, he can cleanse us from our iniquities. He can forgive our diseases. And he can heal our diseases. He can forgive our iniquities. And whatever we do, God always have the plan to turn things around. And when you are in that situation where God turned it around, Proverb, please don't go back. Don't go back. Don't go back. Don't go back to things that God has delivered you from. Samson went back because he thought that he had unfinished business. Samson went back because he thought that he was strong and mighty to deliver. He can deliver himself. Samson went back because he was not afraid of anybody. Yes, I know. But that's not what God ordained. Because what God wants in his life, what God wanted in his life, was Samson to lead an army to deliver Israel from the Philistines. Beloved, this is part one of the psalm. Part two comes up next, where we look at Samson did not take heed of what happened. This was the first one that happened to him, and God delivered him from. He went back, and the tussle again started. Next week, we're going to look at what happened with Samson and Delilah, and take the lessons that we can put together that this book of Judges brings to us as disciples. So leave this place and go with the knowledge that God that has delivered you, God has a plan for you in your life. God will never leave you, neither forsake you. His promises, that his promises are faithful and sure. Go with that knowledge that you serve a God who, even though your ways may be blocked, even though paths may be dried up, but because you are in the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, because God is with you. His rod and his staff will comfort you all the days of your life, so that you come back to do his work and be united in him with glory. We will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into my eternal rest." Amen. Amen. Before I take my seat, I have a short testimony I want to give. Sometime last year, I preached a sermon. And after the sermon, I went out, as usual, and then one lady came up to me. I said, "Brother, I have been blessed." I said, "Thank you." He said, "But I was waiting for you to do an altar call because I wanted to give my life to Jesus. But you did not." Beloved, that haunted me. It haunted me in a sense that why I never do altar call, you know why? Because I always feel embarrassed if you say, "Is there anybody here who wants to give his life?" and nobody shows up. I had that discussion with the pastor last week. I always feel ashamed that if I say, "Please give your life to Christ," and nobody shows up. So, but when that encounter, it has been plaguing my mind every single day. And so first day in the year, when you make your resolution, I've made up my mind that from now on, every sermon I preach, I would invite, "Is there anybody who wants to give his life to Christ?" If nobody shows up, I will do it again. I will do it again and again and again and again and again and again till one day somebody might say, "Here am I. Send me." So the invitation is open. Is there anybody here who wants to give Jesus his life? He's our life to say, "I am yours. Send me." As we sing, you play something. As we sing, let us be on our feet. Let us be on our feet. As we move in this new season of our life, trying to make disciples, trying to be disciples of Christ. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that we not be conformed to this world, but try and renew your minds. Renew your heart, renew your minds. Every time you're in the presence of God, we need to be renewing our minds. Because the Bible tells us that we sin in words, in thoughts, and in deeds. So as we're here with humble hearts, we bow down. Let us lift up our voice to God. I say, "Thank you, God, for sending your son to die for my sins. Thank you, God, for sending your Savior to be my Savior. Thank you, God, for sending your one and only begotten son to die for me so that I'll be united with you and I'll be reconciled with you in glory. Thank you, Father." When I remember what the Lord has done, I will never go back anymore. When I remember what the Lord has done, I will never go back anymore.
When I remember what the Lord has done. we say this prayer together? Heavenly Father, can we say it together? Heavenly Father, thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for strengthening me. Thank you for redeeming my life from destruction. Thank you for crowning my efforts with victory. Lord, I thank you. From the bottom of my heart, I know I will never be the same again. And it's all because of you. So I lift hands of praise. I lift hands of thanksgiving. I lift hands of adoration. I lift hands of glory. 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 I said, thank you, Father. Because I would never, ever go back to what you've delivered me from. Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory for your word. That word is a lamp unto our feet and the light of our path will show us the pathway when we leave this place so that we come back and be a testimony and give testimonies of the goodness that you've done for us. Thank you, Father, once more. In Jesus' name I pray.